The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up later on the Radio Today programme, Global's Make Some Noise raises more than £4 million. We'll talk to the charity's director, Emma Bradley, and Classic FM Breakfast presenter Tim Lioro, who pulled a £400 piano across London. Also this week, James Cridlin looks at copywriting in radio adverts. And David Lloyd is here with more radio moments, including the start of Any Questions, Chris Evans joining Virgin, Capital Radio coming on the scene, and regular stereo broadcasts beginning. It's all fascinating stuff. It's all on the way.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Nick Azoy.
But first, Radio Today's founder and editor Roy Martin is here, and he's back from his travels in the UK. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. It's good to be back. There's no place like home, is there? It's good to go away, but it's even better to come back.
Yes, especially when it's absolutely pouring down. Welcome to autumn. Clock's changing soon. Make sure your playout system's ready for it, etc., etc.
Ah, good public information there. Well done. Yeah. Public service announcement.
Trying our best. So let's talk about some stuff that's been going on this week in the radio industry. It's what we're here for, after all. We're going to hear on the podcast a bit about Global's Make Some Noise. But what a total, £4.1 million and lots of people getting involved all across the group.
Make Some Noise. Yeah, I had a bit of a ramble this week about it. In a good way, of course, because over £4 million in one day. That's fantastic, isn't it? There's so many people taking part. I'd say everybody. And even Communicore, the people at Communicore I saw on social media taking part in Make Some Noise Day as well. What did you do? Did you raise money yourself?
Not personally, no, but I don't work there. But should we text and donate? Because you can still, I think, if you want to donate some money, you can still do it. Do you want to get your phone out now and we'll do it together? Let's all
okay.
do it.
All right. Do we have to do this right now?
Get your phone. Yeah, get your phone. Have you got your phone there?
Okay, yeah.
So you need to text the word noise, N-O-I-S-E, to 70766, and that'll donate £5. There we go.
70 what?
70766.
Okay.
100% noise. Goes to Make Some Noise. There we go. It's gone.
Have you done it?
I have. Have you done it?
Okay, yeah, I've done it. Watch. Listen. You might be able to... And I've got notifications. Oh, there, yeah, you just heard it.
Well done. Right, you've done your bit. You've done your bit, and I've done my bit. Excellent. Good. Good work. And well done to everybody at Global. Nice to see lots of pictures of people dressed up in all sorts of fancy costumes, and then obviously all the massive fundraising feats that they did. And we'll hear from Tim from Classic FM in a little while on the podcast, who pulled a piano halfway across London, and also Emma from the charities coming on as well to talk to us.
I can't believe that Jamie Theakston... cycled from Edinburgh to London. That is just crazy.
It is crazy, but he did it. I can believe it. I saw the stuff.
Do you think he just cycled when the cameras were on and then got in the car for the rest of the way?
Roy,
do you think he actually had to do it?
No, of course he did it. What
That's do a you long mean? Way.
Of course he did it. Well, for people who cycle, it's doable. Just because you don't cycle and you couldn't cycle down the shop.
Sometimes. But I was talking to a friend, an actual non-radio friend, which I've got a couple.
What?
And he said he was listening to it, and hats off to Jamie Theakston. And he said it's great how they, how Hart and everybody else gets together with all their competitors for this Make Some Noise Day and makes loads of money together. I'm like, you do know it's all owned by the same company. He's like, what? he thought Hart were being friendly with the competition, but I had to put him right and say, no, it's all the same thing. They're in the next door to each other.
Yes. But no, really well done. And you can read and see lots of the pictures about things that they were doing on radiotoday.co.uk. Something else that's been on there this week, and I've seen a lot of sharing and sharing of the love on social media, was the Audio Always announcement that they're going to offer some four-week work placements, four of them next year, where you can apply for a work placement and you will get paid for working there and show what you can do and maybe get yourself a job in the radio industry. Fantastic idea.
Do you know what? I wish they had this when I was getting into radio. Fantastic initiative. They're paying for it. And if you're successful, then you get to spend a month with Stuart Morgan and the team at Audio Always at Media City UK in Manchester, which is also the Radio Today office. Did you know that? Did you?
I've never been.
You probably. No, I know. Neither have I. But it's the Radio Today offices. It's what we use for post.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a wonderful facility. We've got studios there and everything, and Stuart's done a real good job with it. And they produce content for, you know, Radio 1, Radio 2, 5 Live. They do OJ Borg. They produce the Radio 2's overnight show.
They do, yes. And Ellis and John on 5 Live, yes. I've not actually been in the office, but I have seen through its window from the second floor of the car park.
Wow. Get you.
Hello.
What did you do for work experience as a wee?
Well, I did hospital radio like you did, but I didn't get fired from there. And I did a week's work experience from school, actually, at the Pulse in Bradford when I was 16.
And who was there? Who did you meet?
I met Steve Martin, who was the programme director at the time. Who else would have been there? I think Nick Tuff was on Breakfast. Dave Stern was on Mids. Simon Hurst was on in the evening show then. Don't you remember him?
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
No. It was good. And I met a couple of people I then went on to work with later in my career as well. Chris Cooper, who was in the news team there, Richard Murray, and also Simon Priestley, who was engineering, who I was spent a day with connecting ISDN lines and testing them and things, and then went on to work with him at GMG in later life. So yeah,
Simon's great. I did a week at Radio Wave in Blackpool, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long way to go, but I applied at Rock FM or Red Rose, and they didn't have any room for me, even though I asked them like every week. So I ended up at Radio Wave, second place prize, and had a real good week there. They had Simon Tate on, and I think it was Neil Sexton on Breakfast, and yeah, loads of it was all like 24/7 local and live as it was back then. Never ended up working there or anything, but it was a good week.
Excellent. But yeah, it's a great opportunity. If there are people listening who are just starting out and fancy some production experience with an independent production company, 4 weeks and you'll get paid. You can apply all the details on the Radio Today website. I think it's December you've got to apply by, and then there'll be 4 placements through next year. Another great opportunity for up-and-coming talent at Radio 1. This is quite good. They're opening up their Christmas schedules and throwing it open to people from student and community and local radio and hospital radio to get involved. That's a pretty good one, isn't it? Another opportunity. All these things that didn't exist when we were kids.
I think I might make a demo and send it in.
Let's maybe just send them this.
Do a double header. Yeah,
we do a program about radio on Christmas Day afternoon. I think that'd go down well. Hello,
this
Ben, if you're listening, and Alan.
Get us on for at least half an hour. It'll send the ratings through the floor. It'd be good. Good luck to everybody in that, and let us know if you're applying, and let us know if you're successful, and we can write about you on Radio Today because it's such a good thing to do.
Talking of up-and-coming talent as well, the Student Radio Awards happening next month. All the nominations are out for those. They're on radiotoday.co.uk. Somebody else who I know from when I was back doing work experience in the 90s is a lad called Chris Mason. You might have heard of him. He does the Brexit cast and some of the political stuff. Just been announced last week as the new host of Any Questions on Radio 4. Well done to Chris. And he's a massive radio geek, as you'll know when you heard him on this podcast a few months ago. So I'm sure he'll do a great job at that.
Talking of podcasts, I was reading David Lloyd's blog about what is radio and what is audio and how we should embrace the word radio, and it got me thinking, is this radio or is this a podcast?
What, that we're doing now?
Yeah.
Well, it's a podcast, isn't it? But we could make it radio.
How? get in touch with Ben and
make
Alan.
It well, make it better.
Yeah, I suppose. You got me thinking the other day about it, and I thought I'd mention it, and I thought the definition of radio must be something that is broadcast or streamed or made available in a linear format and not available on demand initially. Would you agree with that?
I would too, but I'd still class myself as a radio presenter and a radio producer to make a podcast, so maybe that's because we're from the radio background in the first place, but people who just start out making a podcast see themselves as podcast presenters and podcast producers.
Yeah, such an interesting topic. I mean, I wouldn't just pull a microphone up and say, hey, I'm doing radio, and then put an MP3 on a website, because that's not radio. But if you're talking on the radio in real time, anyway, I'll leave that to David Lloyd to if you haven't read his blog about people using the word radio, then have a read of it. Definitely recommend it.
Well, Chris, who we were talking about, is a radio person through and through, and he was on the radio, happened to be on the radio just after the announcement that he was going to be the host of Any Questions, and he was talking to Tony and Anna on 5 Live Drive about how excited he was to get the new job.
Celebrations in order because you've been announced as the new host of Strictly... No, hang on, no. Radio 4's iconic political programme, Any Questions. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well done, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you both. I am blushing, but yes, it's taken almost as long to nail down as the whole Brexit process, if the truth be known. But it is finally public, which is a great relief to me because I'm not very good at keeping a secret.
Well,
and I, in classic, mate, I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but I'm going to. What the hell? In classic circumstances around this sort of thing, when the press release was released, it was news to me that I'm starting a week on Friday, but it was announced in that press release, so it must be true.
Right, well, good. It's a programme I actually listen to, so don't ruin it.
No,
you won't. That should have came out. I know you won't ruin it.
That's high praise, isn't it, Chris? And also, I mean, you are officially the new Dimbleby. I mean,
well, I know, that's frightening. I know. That is the scary bit, and I'm just, I sort of fear, I don't want to be the David Moyes to his Sir Alex Ferguson, because he's done that job since about the time I learnt to ride a bike. He started doing that job in 1987, and obviously he's one of the, you know, from the biggest family in broadcasting and all of that. And then along I come. I think, blimey, you know, anyone who wants to write the headline about, you know, the BBC going down the tubes, I fear has ample evidence.
Oh, now stop! You'll be brilliant.
Big shoes, big feet, and all that. So look, modesty. You know, sometimes in life, Chris. You know, a text came into the show earlier saying I was the best looking person on 5 Live, and I read it out because I think you've got to read the rough with the smooth. So for your benefit, you know, you're modest, so you wouldn't read this. But Jonathan Dimbleby, your predecessor, has actually tweeted. I'm sure you've seen it. Just heard. Hashtag Chris Mason, you were a hashtag, is my successor in the hashtag Any Questions chair. Great choice for great job. Fine political journalist who inhabits the Westminster bubble but has feet firmly planted outside. Tough, clever and witty. Listeners will relish him as much as he'll relish the role.
Yeah, I saw that, I assumed it wasn't his account, but apparently it is. Apparently it is.
Oh, stop just being falsely modest. You're a celebrity now.
Just to put that into, just to put a quick sort of, you know, BBC balance to that, I'm just reading a text from, actually, I don't know who this is from because their name hasn't come up. I can't actually read it out verbatim, but the gist of it is, don't mess it up.
Yeah, well, which is my thoughts exactly. You won't do.
That's Tony Livesey and Anna Foster with Chris Mason, the new host of Any Questions on Radio 4. And you can hear a great old clip of Any Questions coming up in Radio Moments with David Lloyd later on in this podcast. So the ARIA entries are now open. All the details on the Radio Today website there. We've no word yet on when it's going to be or where it's going to be, I think. Roy, we're still waiting for news.
Yeah, it's quite interesting that they've not announced the actual details of where it's going to be as yet, but let's hope that they're forthcoming forthwith.
Excellent. Some other events going on. The Viamux workshops continue next month. If you want to find out more about small-scale digital radio, supported by Radio Today and Play Out One, they head to Sheffield on the 9th of November, Watford on the 10th, and Cardiff on the 23rd. Details and how you can get yourself along to that at viamux.com. And Drive to Digital happening on the 30th of October at the British Library in London. Google and eBay will be there. Will you?
No, sadly not. There's a community radio Now and Next conference taking place, though. Don't know if you've mentioned this already, but it's in a couple of weeks, actually, the 26th of October, just after the dreaded Rajar. And it's also the same day that the community radio awards take place in Barry, in South Wales.
Yes.
So if you've anything to do with community radio, I suggest you pop along and enjoy the day.
Yeah, it's the night the clocks go back, that as well. But I can't make it to South Wales that night, unfortunately. And like you, I can't make it to Drive to Digital because it's half term. So I've got the kids. So we won't be there this year. But we'll try and get somebody along to maybe record some bits for the podcast if we can.
Indeed.
Right. Well, we're going to hear about Make Some Noise with Tim and Emma in a minute. Thank you for listening, as always. And we'll be back again next week.
Thank you, Stu. How do you spell cancel, by the way?
Cancel?
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. So more than £4 million was raised by Global Stations for this year's Make Some Noise charity appeal. Lots of presenters and staff getting involved with Make Some Noise Day last week. The culmination of a load of hard work. And we can find out more about it from Global's Director of Goodness and the MD of Make Some Noise, Emma Bradley, and Classic FM's breakfast presenter, Tim Lioro, who got involved himself pulling a piano from Leicester Square to the Albert Hall. We'll find out more about that in a moment. Welcome both to the Radio Today programme. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. So, Emma, first of all, more than £4 million this year. You must be absolutely delighted with how it went.
Yes, we are thrilled. It actually surpassed our expectations. It's been quite a challenging landscape for charities and fundraising. So the fact that our listeners just responded with that much money, we're absolutely thrilled and very grateful, of course, to all the presenters as well that inspired the listeners.
Yeah, and so many things that they all did. You've got Tim there with you, obviously, but lots of the breakfast presenters and the teams from all the stations got really involved. How can you convince them to do these crazy things that they do?
Well, you might have to ask Tim who and how he was persuaded to undertake his challenge, but it's a kind of combination. We talk to the programmers about what might fit on their brand and their station and what might appeal to the audience and what the presenters might be up for. And then there is some arm twisting and some inspiring and some bribing. But in the end, we got a fantastic array of challenges this year and it really caught the imagination of the audiences. So it's gone very well.
So, Tim, a £400 piano, was this your idea or did somebody come to you with it?
Yeah, I'll let you guess the answer to that one. No, I was in a meeting and it was basically my boss said, I've heard that there's been a meeting in this building where someone uttered the line, we'd like to harness Tim to a piano, much like a horse. And I think this made my boss smile. He came to me and the rest, as they say, is piano pull history, if there is such a category. I don't know if there is. But no, it's you asked why, you know, why we do these things. I've got to say, there is a... Do you remember that old advert that used to be on in the 70s about the answer is yes, now what's the question? There's a sort of attitude to that, like that, to make some noise. It is one of those things that brings this building together. And you are just chuffed to be asked, really, to be a part of it, because like the entire building, I'm going to get a bit gooey here, the entire building goes a bit family-ish. And so to be asked to do a challenge yourself, it's just like, absolutely, absolutely, I will. Just tell me what. And then they told me.
And I suppose because of that, as you say, because the answer is always going to be yes, because it's for charity and you can't say, no, I'm not doing that, then they can get away with asking quite ridiculous things. So, I mean, Jamie Theakston did something fairly epic last year, but he tried to beat that this year.
I know. It really puts you in perspective, doesn't it, when Jamie literally cycles round the blooming country. I should really have taken a very, very long route to the Albert Hall via Brighton or somewhere, or Leeds. I live in Leeds, so why not go there? But we took a fairly direct route. It was only a few miles, but it was with a £400 piano. And we just, I don't think anyone knew quite how it was going to go. You know, I'm sure there are a few people in this building checking my life insurance and working it out. But they did give me a great company to train with and all that sort of thing, because they do things properly around here, you know. So it was, I've got to say, it was really, really good fun in the end.
And you do realise you're pulling a piano from Edinburgh to next year.
Well, funnily enough, what did you see on Twitter? The Leeds piano competition people got in touch, said, pull it to Leeds next time. Would that be all right? And I found myself typing, yes, of course, no problem, of course.
And,
fool.
You stopped a few places on the way, obviously, for a little bit of a rest and a bit of a sing-song as well, because you're a pianist yourself, too.
Rest. Yeah, we did. No, we absolutely did. We had a lovely couple of trainers who really, really looked after me. We stopped for jelly babies every now and again. We stopped for water. And now and again, people just, you know, I think people were a little inspired. They saw this piano coming towards them in the street, so we stopped to do sing-songs with anyone who would give us a tune. We did a couple of duets. And when, of course, when we got to Buckingham Palace, we stopped the piano right outside, just before the police checked we had all our details ship-shape, which they were, of course. And we played the Queen, God Save the Queen, right outside Buckingham Palace. So, yeah, any excuse for stopping and playing rest, don't know what that word means, but stopping and playing, we did that, definitely.
And I'm fairly sure I saw you playing the classic FM jingles at one point as well, Tim.
don't make me laugh, I'm still recovering. Yeah, no, we did. We had the jingle, we had a little bit of Land of Hope and Glory when we finally got there to the Albert Hall. It was really good fun, I have to say. It was tough on the uphills, I've got to say, but it was really, really good fun because it's a fabulous bunch of people behind you. You really, I can't stress this enough, you get to be the front man of a fun stunt like this, but you have a fabulous, massive team behind you who are with you all the way. So it really is good fun.
And I think you were aiming for £30,000 or £40,000 and you more than doubled that in the end.
Yeah, I'm really chuffed with how it's gone. I think it's possibly the sight of a grown man with a piano on his back going through London that... It's probably a sympathy raising of money here. You see, pianos are... Oh, I've got to say, I'm very rarely seen without a piano at home. I'm always at the piano. I used to play for my living. I play for choirs. So it was a second nature to me to have a piano. And I think it just chimed with the classic audience as well, you know. So maybe we should sing Piano Man all the way around next time, I think.
You heard it here.
Yeah, I've got a grand piano here. I wouldn't want to push that through the streets, I don't think. But Emma, the causes that this is all for, obviously they're small charities around the country that you're supporting. Why is it important to support some of these smaller ones?
Well, really, it's to give them a voice. You know, we're a large media organisation. We're reaching 25 million people on our stations every week. And that's a gift and a privilege and a responsibility. And if we can give a voice to some of the smaller charities that are doing wonderful work at grassroots level in local communities, that's a wonderful privilege to be able to give them. So we talk about a three-part promise, actually, where we raise money for them, we raise awareness for them, and we raise the bar for them. So actually we help them upskill in areas that we can help them with, such as improving websites or improving their social media or giving them media training. So we kind of give them a package to help them perhaps be more sustainable in the future. And that seems to have really chimed with both the audience and the charities that we support.
And obviously a lot of focus on what's coming out of Leicester Square and the fundraising that you've been doing there, but offices around the country, I've seen pictures of them all getting involved as well. So some of those charities that are in the regions get the involvement of the local global offices.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, Tim is right. Absolutely everyone in the global family throws themselves into this. It's the most crazy day. So right up and down from Glasgow, round to Bristol and Cardiff, everybody got involved. You know, some of the local drive time presenters got involved in all sorts of things, including a skydive. The local sales teams got dressed up and they build a relationship with their local charities. And of course, Jamie on his cycle met a number of charities on the way, as did Roman Kemp on his challenge. So we've really been able to involve everyone.
And it doesn't kind of stop here, I guess, because not only are you planning for Make Some Noise Day next year, but it's an all year round thing is the fundraising that you do.
Yes, don't mention next year's target yet. We're just kind of trying to bask in the glory for an extra week. But yes, it goes on all year round. You know, we're like any other charity. We're looking for any opportunity to make a difference and change young lives. So we're already plotting a few bits and pieces, and we're fairly opportunistic with the global calendar as well. So if there's other bits that come up, I'm a little leech that basically says, oh, how can we involve Make Some Noise in that? How can we get involved? So, yes, it's all year round.
And not just a fundraiser, Tim, but a record breaker as well. I presume that's going on the CV, is it?
Oh, definitely. There's no way that's not going on there. I don't quite. Yeah. To be fair, we set a record, I believe, with this, because no one's been quite crazy enough to attempt it beforehand. But I presume that means we'll have to try and break it next year. Sorry, I must stop talking about next year. I'm busy. I'm washing my hair next year.
It's all been recorded, Tim. Yeah.
Well, next year you might even have a bigger show because your audience figures are going up while you're here, Tim. I think the last Ray Jars Classic FM was storming, and even with Scala arriving on the scene, you're still kind of storming ahead. So I suppose it's good for classical music having a competitor, because that pushes you on even more.
Absolutely, great it is, and it just widens the field. It just means there are more people listening to classical music all the time. And we were lucky. We got Moira not too long ago. And Moira is just the icing on the cake in the morning. She's just that touch of class that makes you realise this is just wonderful to have around. And she's a bit of, I mean, as my mum would have said, she's a hoot as well in the morning. She really is fun to have around. So I think, you know, partly the Moira effect, definitely, on those figures. So I can't complain about that.
Fantastic. Well, we wish you well for Rajar for next week. Hope it's still an upward trend. And congratulations to you for your epic feat. Really well done.
Thank you, Stuart. And thank you for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
Sema Bradley from Make Some Noise and Tim Lioro from Classic FM talking to the Radio Today programme. Still to come, David Lloyd and James Cridland. First, a reminder about Clean Feed. It's definitely worth trying out this autumn if you are doing an OB or maybe making a podcast and you need to get a guest or a co-host on from somewhere different to where you are and you want them to be in good quality. Clean Feed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to use and connect in live, decent quality audio over the web, and you can even record within the browser. There is a completely free version, so it won't cost you anything to get started, and it takes 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording for your show or podcast. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. Quite a long time ago now, I wrote radio ads for a living. I wrote them for 7 years all in, mainly for local clients. Smartly dressed sales executives used to take a scruffy creative like me along with them to take a brief or to read a script. And as any period of listening to the radio will tell you, quite a few radio commercials are, well, they're not the best part of the output. I mean, here's an ad that I believe actually aired, I'm guessing on Radio Tees, for a company in Cannon Park Industrial Estate, Middlesbrough, behind the Renault dealer.
Superscreen.
Who?
Superscreen.
Who?
Superscreen, that's who?
No, that was my bad edit. Let's skip a bit forward.
If it's a TV that you want...
Yes.
Or could it be... a video.
Good Lord. Or there's this a little further north from Mr. Rahman on Metro Radio in the 1980s.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Rahman speaking. Please listen. I have a factory on Westcote Road. I replaced the zip in trouser, skirt and jean for only £1. Yes, only £1. Also, I replaced the zip in car coat, anorak, leather clothing, in anything and everything. If you have any problem with the zip, we can fix them.
You know what, I quite like that now. Now listen, here's the thing with advertising. Local ad agencies mainly have little experience of radio, and because it's not seen as glamorous, they give it to the most junior member of the team, and they rarely see the radio station's creative team as being the specialists, even though they most certainly are. Award-winning ads, and I wrote my fair share of award-winning ads, rarely work very well for clients. Some of my least creative work... work the best for them. And actually, there's very little data out there about what works and what doesn't from a local advertiser point of view. So in terms of effectiveness, there's virtually no continuous improvement or learning from your mistakes. If there is data, it's often hidden behind a smokescreen of negotiation as a hard-nosed client sits there and says, yes, my ads didn't work, but I'll rebook. And this, I think, is the most curious. In 7 years, I only had one piece of feedback from a programme director, just once. And congratulations to you, programme director for Ram FM in Derby, for pulling off one of my ads because the announcer had managed to mispronounce the name of a large local town. Literally, that was the only time. And given that radio commercials are more than 20% of the broadcast hour these days, it's odd that programme directors seem powerless to give a feedback on a fifth of their station's output. I'm told that in the UK, the classical music station Classic FM was a bit fiercer at launch, but they're the exception rather than the rule. Now, I'm not sure that long ad breaks are the future for commercial radio, but it surprises me that after 30 years, we're no better at writing these things. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. Music for this bit is from DivaWeb, who are very good. And until next time, keep listening. And now, on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. We heard last week that the wonderful, busy, generous Chris Mason is to take the reins of Radio 4's Any Questions from this week.
You won't be able to see my smile on the radio, but hopefully you can hear it. I'm delighted and can't believe it.
Chris becomes part of radio history. That programme started originally on the BBC in the West region this week in 1948. The first edition was from the Guildhall in Winchester.
Well, of course, you have been asked in the sense in which every decision is taken in this country. It's really not the case, you know, to say that these things are settled by fiat and by decree. They're settled in exactly the same way in which every other matter is settled in this democratic country. That is, the government decides what it thinks is the right policy.
Yes.
It goes to the House of Commons and discusses it, and it's debated there. It's discussed freely throughout the country, and if people don't like it, Then, of course, they've got the sanction of the vote. But it's really ridiculous to say that there's some different system of determining this than there is from determining everything else that happens in this country. It's determined through our parliamentary machine and through parliamentary discussion.
And they were talking about rationing, lest there be any confusion. Freddie Griswood was the first presenter handling those topics of the day.
At what age does an unmarried female become a spinster? Yes, Desmond Donnelly.
When she's too old to attract. Well, that's very succinct anyhow, Sir Robert.
I think it depends a great deal on the view you take of the word spinster.
No lessons there for Chris Mason. Good grief. Any questions? Which is now Radio 4. It began 71 years ago this week. Not many presenters launched the same show on the same radio station twice. In 1997 came the first Virgin Breakfast experience for this man.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, another great thing about working here is that there's a beautiful window here.
Yeah, yeah, the studio.
You can actually see that it's a beautiful day over London town. If you're listening in London, it's 105.8 FM, it's all crystal clear. Another great reason to move to London, so you can hear us even in better quality. So it's a beautiful day. We can see what's going on outside. We can see that there are satellite trucks still waiting to interview us, saying, Chris, how did it go? Have you got anything to say to Matthew Bannister? What do you think Zoe's chances are?
Chris Evans still competing against Zoe to this day. There he was on Virgin Radio Breakfast in its first incarnation from Golden Square this week, 22 years ago. Compliance is a word which echoes around the BBC a little more than it used to before this week, 11 years ago.
All right, Andrew Sachs is on the phone. I'm ever so sorry about what I said about Andrew Sachs. And,
no, don't repeat the name.
Oh, yeah,
he knows who he is.
All right.
Just say, mate. No, that sounds threatening. Just say, sorry.
I'll kill you!
How many complaints now is it? 27,000. Russell Brand gone from Radio 2. Jonathan Ross may not have a future at the BBC. It's dependent on the outcome of meetings today. Is this a terrible day for the corporation?
Ross and Brand and Sachsgate, as it became this week in 2008. Senior heads rolled at the BBC, needlessly. It's 46 years this week since the first commercial radio music station began.
Good morning. This, for the very first time, is Capital Radio.
It is not going to be a customary habit to deliver long diatribes on Capital Radio.
And that strategy certainly holds true to this day. What about the weekday lineup?
When I finish, which is at 9 o'clock, we have a news bulletin, and then Tommy Vance and Joan Shenton entertain through the morning until 11 o'clock, when Peggy Mount stars in a day-to-day serial called Bedsit. It's a down-to-earth, humorous, and we think very amusing and entertaining serial. And then after that, Tommy and Joan carry on until midday, and at midday, Dave Cash comes on the air with Cash Countdown. And besides the good music, a load of star prizes to be given away as well. 2 o'clock in the afternoon sees Tony Myers on the air, and at 2:15, A King and His Mistresses. And in this play, in this feature, which appears from day to day, William Franklin plays the effervescent Charles II. And it's a quick touch of, OK, Nelly, where are your oranges? And after that, he goes back to the music. And then Roger Scott takes you through Picard Home, after which we have London's Day at 6 o'clock, which is a newsreel presented by Simon Preble and Susan Denny, giving you a day-to-day rundown of London's affairs, national affairs, international affairs. 6:30, Nicky Horne and Your Mother Wouldn't Like It, which is 2 hours of unadulterated rock and roll.
Capital launching this week in 1973, not the only commercial station to come up with drama in those early days. This week in 1958, regular stereo transmissions began in London. And bearing in mind how rare stereo is on DAB these days, here's how Charlie Brooker explained it 61 years ago.
As you know, stereophonic sound requires two channels to represent the two ears. For my right ear, I am going to use the sound from a television receiver, but you could equally well use any ordinary sound receiver tuned to the third program. For my left ear, I am going to use a sound receiver tuned to the home service. I have set up the two receivers about 6 feet apart and pointing to the place where I'm going to sit, which is also about 6 feet from both receivers. You will see that the two receivers and myself form a triangle of roughly equal sides. Now, when the program begins tomorrow, there will be an introductory talk to enable you to adjust the volumes of the two receivers so that the sound appears to come from a point exactly midway between them. Don't worry unduly if you can't achieve this balance, because it probably means that the connections to one of the loudspeakers is the wrong way round. But the engineers at the BBC are going to reverse the connections to one of the channels halfway through the programme, and then everything should be all right.
Stereo explained in 1958. This next station was to hone the on-air talents of Chris Moyles and Paul McKenna, amongst others. Chilton was born this week 38 years ago.
In the beautiful English countryside, across the hills and downs we glide, Chilton Radio.
Good morning, my darlings. Pucker up your lips and face the day. 12 minutes past six it is, with Holmes at Newman at Chilton Radio and Elvis Costello.
Chilton Radio launching from Dunstable this week in 1981. So with the final Dave Cash programme 3 years ago.
Have yourself a wonderful week. See you next Saturday for 1970 and 1980, OK?
Wiltshire Radio launching 37 years ago.
I'll be delving deep into the WR record vaults for some great oldies. And there's Dial an Argument and the Believe It or Not quiz. And Would You Like Your Car Cleaned?
The Queen's first radio appearance 79 years ago.
Our father and mother have so often talked to us of their visits to different parts of the world.
Ocean Sound going on air 33 years ago.
From now on, we'll be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every week of the year.
And Fern Cotton and Reggie Yates starting on the Radio 1 chart 12 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and James Cridland and Roy Martin, and to our guests this week, Tim and Emma from Global. Join us again for another Radio Today programme, same time next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mick Azzo.